for God, we bless and honor your name. Not just because you've been good, but because we've come to know you as the God who is God all by himself. Come declaring that beside you there is none other. None has your glory. None shares your grace. In the words of our mothers, can't nobody do us like Jesus. And as we come during this time where we wait to hear a word from you, we pray that you would indeed speak. A word from on high that would bless on this special day the mothers among us. Lord, how we thank you for them. So we pray, Lord God, now that you would send a word that would lift up their bowed down heads, that would encourage their hearts, that would speak to that one who doesn't know what the next step is, nor has the strength to take another step, to press on in your name. Have your way be glorified in this time. Somebody might come to know you as their Savior and their Lord. Have your way, Lord, and be glorified that each of us might be different, having been with you than we were when you came. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to speak once again to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You've heard the entire first chapter of Samuel read before you. I just want to focus really on one verse today in this story of Hannah and the birth of Samuel. That is in verse 11. It reads this way. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I want to preach for just a few minutes. There's a lot of restaurants that are going to be filled with mothers today. Some of us have some cooking to do today. All of us have some serving to do today.
Amen.
And we need to get about the business of returning to mothers what they give to us every day. Preach for a few minutes today from the topic, Power of a Praying Mother. Power of a Praying Mother. It is wholly fitting that we take time and stop all the busyness and craziness of the way our lives are ordered to give recognition to mothers for being mothers.
Yes.
Some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you don't know my story, and I don't know all of yours, but I know there's one element in your story.
Come on.
That ought to cause you to be giving God praise and honor today. If you are among those who are breathing in the sanctuary today, you need to be thanking God for a mother. The thing about mothering is that we too often take for granted the sacrifice that women need to make day in and day out on our behalf. Do you know the hardest thing in the world to do is to raise a child? Listen, we don't do what our parents ask us to do. Mom labors for hours, going through excruciating pain. I've seen it, it's no joke. No man in the room wants any part of this. And then the baby comes out, is up at 1 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, again at seven, and when everybody else is awake, they decide to sleep. And mom is sleep deprived and still needs to get dinner on the table. Meanwhile, child is sucking on the breast, depleting mom of any energy that she might have. And all of a sudden they get old enough and the diapers start getting poopy. Come on, somebody. And when the diapers aren't poopy, some virus comes and then the nose gets snotty. I'm not here to gross anybody out, but I just want you all to remember where you came from. Who was taking care of you? Who was fixing up your boo-boos with a band-aid and a kiss of love? Who was it that when your heart got broken came and told you everything was going to be all right? Who is it that encouraged you? That's a mother. More often than not, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. There are some men with some very nurturing spirits. I get all that, but I thank God for a mother. Who in the most difficult times chose to sacrifice herself to mother me. I know I'm not the only one in the room who gives God praise for a mother, and we all ought to. It is perfectly appropriate for us to do so because God made women specially to be mothers. Here's what I found out over time. Women have this, I don't know whether it's an innate capacity or whether they teach this when girls are very small, but women start mothering long before a baby is ever conceived. Long before, in their hopes and dreams and aspirations from the time they're young, they're thinking about at least the possibility of being a mother. It is an expression of life that no man can ever make. It is something special about the way God designed women that they solely, peculiarly, and singularly have the not just the biology and the physiology, but the spirit, come on somebody, to be able to birth a child. And it isn't them birthing a child, it is them participating in God's creative act. Spiritually. That gives birth to a child. Here's how I know this. I don't care when you walk into the room, how it happens. It doesn't matter about the age of the woman, whether she's 8 or whether she's 80. Let somebody in the room come into the room with a baby. And what do you hear? Oh. I've never seen anything like it. It's like there's a choral director with a baton. Ready? Oh. The life desire, the concentration, the focus. I don't care what else is going on in the room. What kind of suit I have on, how many degrees I have, how important I think I am. Let a baby come in the room. Center of attention is on this baby. Bald head, slobber coming all out the mouth. Doesn't even matter. And it's not about the baby. It's about the miracle that God has done. In birthing a child, nobody can do that but a woman. And I thank God that God has said to all of us that he would give us the desires of our heart. Sister Hannah had that desire on her heart. Hannah got to a stage in her life where she just wanted a baby. And there she was in a situation where she found that God had not allowed that to happen yet. There are many among us, we don't talk about it much, who struggle to have children. Women who have been wanting babies for years find it difficult to have them. And there are others who seem like babies come easy. But every woman wants, for the most part, this experience at least understands it as a possibility. Hannah was one who desired it. She didn't have 1,000 different desires. She had one. Her singular focus was on having this child, and she was living in what we call the in-between time. Any of you all ever been in between? That moment where you know God has promised it to you and God is going to bless, but right now God has not delivered on the promise that God has given to you, and you're sitting there in the middle of it wondering when or how, and sometimes if you're not faithful, if God is going to do it. When your desire gets like Hannah's, one thing that Hannah did well that we can learn from her is Hannah began to pray. Here's the thing about Hannah's prayer. Hannah was praying some crazy prayer. Did you know nobody can pray like a mother? Because we children are so crazy. Nobody can pray like a mother. I don't know all of your stories, but from what I do know, I bet your mothers were doing some praying. All the nights that you didn't come home, Mom was praying. When she saw you hook up with that crazy fast girl and she knew some trouble was coming your way before you had sense enough to see it, Mom was praying. Yeah. When you brought that knucklehead home. That she knew was trouble from the day she saw him. Mom was praying. When you leave the house in the morning and God doesn't know whether, Mom doesn't know whether you're going to get home safely, Mom is somewhere praying. And particularly in those moments when you acted like you have lost your natural mind, that you are not their child and that you're doing things that she did not teach you to do. Mom is somewhere praying. And when moms pray, they pray prayers that are bananas. They're not the polite, "Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus. From your excellence and glory, would you please look in on my child? They seem to be straying far from the peaceful shore. Lord, would you gather them back in so that there may be peace in my house? God, I thank you in advance for all that you're going to do." No, Mom is praying a prayer at midnight that's not pretty. She's just saying, "Lord, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I don't know any other help. I'm going crazy. I'm about to jump out of the window. Would you please enter into the life and bless somebody? Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. I don't know if I'm going to live to see it, but I trust you." That's a mother praying. Hannah wanted this baby so bad that Hannah was praying a prayer that was absolutely insane. She's walking around in the temple during the celebration, praying her heart out. Hannah caught the Holy Ghost. And the priest saw Hannah praying. Hannah is praying a prayer that's so deeply connected to God that words were not necessary. You ever been there? Don't know where the money's coming from and the baby needs some milk, you praying? Light bills not paid, lights out. Water bill not paid, water's out. Don't know how the mortgage is going to be paid. Knucklehead man you had no business being with. Ran out. Ain't sent a nickel for child support. Married some fool you had no business being married to. Life is out of control and crazy, and the baby needs a new pair of shoes. You are praying crazy prayers because you need God to deliver right now. Somewhere in the midst of praying prayers like that, God begins to perform the miracle of prayer. Here's the thing. Hannah is crying out to God. "God, you know, my husband has another wife. He treats me well, but I can't have a baby. You know I want a baby, and there, teasing me, making my life miserable, and I know you don't want me to be miserable, and I'm tired of being miserable. I can hear Hannah complaining and crying out to God. At some point, I believe, God speaks back to Hannah. Sometimes in your prayers, ladies and gentlemen, ask what you need of God and then shut your mouth. God can't talk to you in a still small voice when you're running your mouth to God all the time. Be quiet for a minute. Say to yourself, Lord, I'm going to wait here until you talk to me. I need a word from you. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to make another move until you talk to me. And God will answer.
Yes, he will.
I believe he answered. Hannah is not explicit in this text. He said, look, I see you're serious about it, Hannah. I'm going to see if you will get your will about your child lined up with my will for who your child is going to be. Ma, is your will for your child aligned with what God's will is for your child? I'm asking too hard a question. Do you even know what God's will is? I'm still too far out there. Have you even asked the Lord what God's will is for your child? Here's the problem. If you're not talking to God, you can become arrogant about your motherhood.
Amen.
That's my baby. It's a lie. It's not your baby. That child belongs to God. God has lent him to you for a little while to nurture and to build and to encourage. And while I'm here, I hear some mothers speaking to God's creation in them in a way that does not honor or value God. Wonder why they're going buck wild and crazy and not attaining anything into school. Stop cussing at them. Stop tearing them down. Oh, you ain't this, and you ain't never going to be. Oh, stop yelling at them all the time. Say a word that builds them and encourages them in some way, that pushes them along the way. Tell them what they can be. Tell them that nobody's better than them. Tell them something that God wants you to tell them. I didn't mean to put that commercial in, it just came. Somewhere in the midst of Hannah's prayer, God begins to speak back to Hannah about why he gave Hannah the opportunity to participate in creation with him. Hannah, I'm going to make your son a Nazarite. He's going to be a priest and a prophet. When I speak, I'm going to speak through Samuel, and people are going to hear the power of my voice. Samuel's going to go wherever he goes, and he's going to be the intermediary between me and people. I know you didn't know it, but I've held back your womb for this long because I wanted to have this conversation with you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sometimes God doesn't give us the desires of our heart right away, because God first wants an appointment to talk to us.
Yeah.
You ever been in that moment in your life where you want it, you can see it, and God hasn't blessed that in-between time, and it's hard for you, and it's difficult, and had things not been that hard and that difficult in that specific way, you would never have gotten down on your knees at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, Lord, it's too crazy for me to handle. I don't know which way to go. I need you to do something right now, and I don't even know really how to pray to you, but I'm available to you right now. And God begins to speak. God is in heaven saying, what took you so long? You could have gotten on your knees when everything was fine, but you wait till your whole life is going crazy. Now you want to pray. But the good thing about God is that he blesses anyway. Even when we're late talking to him, he doesn't hold back a single blessing from us. So he says to Hannah, listen, I've got this will for your son. Are you willing, mom, to align your will for your child with my will? Hannah's answer was apparently yes. And so Hannah made a vow. Lord, if you would just remember your maidservant, you see me down here suffering. They all up in my face. The women are talking about me like a dog. It's torment. I thank you for a husband that blesses me, but listen, the reality is I really want to have this baby. But listen, if you will remember me as I prayed, send me this man child and I will give him back over to you. Everything about him will belong to you. I'm not even going to cut his hair because you made him a Nazarite. He's not going to have any wine to drink because he's a Nazarite. I know he belongs to you. Just let me have him for a moment, and I will give him back to you. One of the things that worry me about mothers is that the children who come through you don't belong to you. I recognize how much you have to pour in. I recognize how much my own mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother poured into me. I declare in the name of Jesus that I would not be standing before you had those three women not sacrificed everything for me to be here. I understand that. But at the end of the day, I was not born to them. When I go back home to Crescent, this is the kind of town I live in, I go back home and I say hi to some old folks on the porch. And yes, ma'am, and they say, come here, I'm 56, I stop what I'm doing and I go. It's about some respect and some honor. And when I get up there, they start interviewing me. They haven't seen me in a long time. I must walk with a familiar gait or have somebody's look on my face. I don't know, but they know they need to talk to me. And I'll go up on the porch and I'll tell them my name. All I need to mention is the last name Warner. And one woman will say to the other one, oh, you remember, that's Moselle Warner's boy. Now, I need to tell you that my mother's name is Barbara Ann. And her mother's name is Dot. But my great-grandmother's name, listen to me, is Moselle. They know that everything that comes through her womb belongs to her. Because of all the sacrifice. Do you not know that my great-grandmother scrubbed floors? As long as I knew her, brilliant, could write better than anybody I've seen, had all this potential, but nothing was available to her. But so that I could be who I am together today, she swung a mop and got on her knees and scrubbed tile floors and washed and took care of babies and did all this kind of stuff so that I could be who I am. Not just her, but her daughter and her daughter's daughter all cared for me in that way. They had every right to say, I'm doing this for my son. But God is saying, it's not your son. You are just the caretaker. Yes. At some point in time, I'm going to ask you to get your hands off him and leave him be so that I can have him to do what I want to do. See how quiet it got in here? This is easy for a man to preach. I haven't laid on the table and had labor pains for anybody. I don't understand the bond between a mother and a daughter. I don't quite get it, but what I do know is that God has a divine purpose for every child born. And it can only be fulfilled by God. So somewhere in Hannah's agreement with the Lord, she gets the message, makes the vow. But what I like about her is she kept her promise regarding her child. Some of you all, at midnight, when they didn't come home, when you found them drinking or smoking something they had no business, church is so quiet. Don't act like I don't know where you're from and what goes on in your community. Don't act as if I don't know what you did. I wasn't born here, but if I had been here, I would probably have been doing it right with you. Don't act like I didn't have children of my own. Come on, somebody. Amen. When in that moment where they're doing all those things that you wouldn't have them to do. You need to be able to be confident in knowing that that child belongs to God and that God has a purpose for them. I wasn't there to hear my great-grandmother pray. When at 14 or 15, I was standing on the corner with a bunch of stupid other boys my age, having paid some old heads to go in the bar and get us a quart of Thunderbird. And having watched Cooley High, we're gonna pass the bottle around and pour one out for the brothers who ain't here. Supposed to be home at 11, it's now 12:30. I wonder what my mother was saying to God about me in that moment. I wonder what my grandmother was saying to God about me in that moment. I wonder what my great-grandmother, my chief encourager, the one who was always pointing to my future, would say about me in that, was praying about me in that moment. But it wasn't a, Lord, I'm sorry because that fool is getting ready to bust hell wide open prayer. I don't believe it was a, Lord, let me know where he is so I can walk up on him kind of prayer. I believe it was a prayer of faithful women who said to God, Lord, I heard what you said when you gave him to me. Lord, I trust you to make it happen. The prayers that we pray for our children are important. They are prescriptive, ladies. They let God know that you understand what God's will is for the child. And we need to be able to trust that God will do what God has promised regarding your children. Even when it doesn't, no, especially when it doesn't look like they're doing what God wants them to do. Listen, Samuel was just an infant here. I bet if we continued the story, Samuel had a couple days. Samuel exhibited some traits that didn't look like a leader in the kingdom of God should exhibit. But here's what I know from my own testimony. Had I not been out doing what I was doing, had I not strayed to the left or to the right, had I not gone when I was supposed to stay, had I not stayed when I was supposed to go every now and again with a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother that prayed for me to bring me back where I was supposed to be, how would I even know what to say to you today? God, through life, is forming his leaders, working out his will in us. Mothers, if you're patient enough to hang in there with God long enough, God is going to bless your child. God's going to bless them. Because God, through you and through your children, are making his name known to the world. It's not just a baby. And it's not your baby. It is God's seed to give birth to something in the kingdom of God. Through your womb, under your care, the sweat of your brow, the investment of your spirit, a gift for us from God has come through you. And so I ask you today, are you praying for your children? Praying for them. Not polite, pity-pat kind of beautiful prayers. They're good in some settings, but as a mother who knows the child better than anybody, your mother, like mine, had eyes in the back of her head, knew what you were thinking before you thought it. There's something in women who that understand this kind of thing. If you're that close to the child, pray specific prayers that you know nobody else knows about. Let God know that you know, and see what God will do. Trust God that God has a purpose for your child, and to the extent that you can, with everything that is in you, give your child back to God to do what God wants to do so that his name will receive glory. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the heart of the mothers that are at once after you and always after their children. We pray, Lord God, specifically for that one who has come here today, maybe at the end of her rope, maybe, Lord, having done everything she knows how to do, having tried every trick in the book, having applied herself for all she is worth, but still not seeing success as a mother and as a parent. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch that mother today. Let her know, God, that while she's tried everything she knows, that there's one thing that she ought to try, and that is to have a little talk with you. Just a little talk with you, Lord, where we tell you all about our struggles. You'll hear our faintest cry. Let them know, Lord God, that as you speak with them, that you will answer by and by. And even as they call on you in this moment, God, we pray that you would feel, they would feel your prayer wheel turning. Let them see the lightning of a new day, new potential, new power, new strength, fresh wind, fresh fire, God, fresh vision, new commitment, Lord God, to you as a parent and as a mother, that you will answer by and by. And as you answer, Lord God, and they commit themselves to you, we pray, Lord God, that you would bless them with blessings that they've never seen, never heard, never experienced. God, do something so bold and so beautiful in their lives, God, that it would cause them to give you praise. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for a moment?